So if you discard the Old Testament, as many want to do, you cannot possibly understand the context of Acts 15, and therefore you'll be teaching incorrect doctrines. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 8 to get a little bit better understanding also of the prohibitions found in Acts 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian congregation. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows not yet as he ought to know. But if any man loves Yahweh, the same is known by him. Again, do not let knowledge puff you up. Concerning, therefore, the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that no idol is anything in the world, and that there is no Yahweh but one. For though there be that are called mighty ones, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many mighty ones and many lords, yet to us there is one Elohim, the Father, of whom are all things, and we to him, and one master, Yahshua the Messiah, through whom are all things, and we through him. However, there is not that knowledge in all men, but some being used until now to the idol eat as of a thing sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food will not commend us to Elohim, neither if we do not eat are we the better, nor if we eat are we the better. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to the weak. For if a man see you who has knowledge sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be emboldened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he that is weak perishes, the brother for whose sake the Messiah died. And thus, sinning against the brethren, and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against the Messiah. Therefore, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh forevermore, that I do not cause my brother to stumble. There it is, the dietary laws, we're going to throw them out the window. Because here it's saying that the food, what is it? It says in verse 8, but food will not commend us to Elohim, neither if we do not eat are we the worse. That's not what this is referring to at all. This has absolutely nothing to do with the dietary laws that we read in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. As Elder Worrell has explained in a recent Bible study, this has to do with the practice in those times of sacrificing, of dedicating meats in a marketplace to idols. And sometimes there were people who had a little bit of a more difficult time accepting that animal was not actually sacrificed to an idol, because the idol is nothing, it's a piece of stone. But he's saying here, if you find that there's someone who feels that way and sees that meat dedicated to idols, blessed in the name of a false mighty one, in other words, then so as not to offend that brother, don't eat the meat. Now going over to chapter 10 very quickly, a similar concept, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. Again, always looking towards your brother. How does your brother feel about this? Not everyone is at the same level of faith as the other. You have to do things with your brother in mind, you see. Whatever is sold in the marketplace, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness of it. There it is. We no longer have to ask questions, you see. For if one of them that believe not bids you to a feast, and you are disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. See, you can't take this out of context. Read on. But if any man say to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience's sake. Conscience, I say, not your own, but the other's. For why is my liberty judged by another's conscience? And in verse 32, give no occasion, let's try 31. Therefore, wherever you eat, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Yahweh. Give no occasion of stumbling either to Jews or to Greeks or to the assembly of Yahweh. Even as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Again, this is dealing with the issue of meats that were sacrificed to idols. This has absolutely nothing to do with the dietary laws. So don't be afraid of these scriptures when people will bring them up to you and try to use them to shake your faith regarding Yahweh's dietary laws. Confront these scriptures in an honest manner and look at them clearly. It's Yahweh's word. We can't ignore it, pretend, and hope that it'll go away. Instead, let's try to understand these things. And obviously, in just a short sermon in the morning, there's no way that we can go in fully in depth into that. But I just want you to be aware that these are not scriptures that should shake your faith. On the contrary, they mean specific things, and you cannot take them out of their context, or they could be made to mean anything anyone wants them to mean. These scriptures have very clear explanations, as we were describing this morning. And I wish we had time to go in depth on all these things, but I'm going to go to two other quick passages, if you'll bear with me. But on the surface, and taken out of context, some would say that these things allow you to eat anything. But clearly, such is not the case. Clearly, this has absolutely nothing to do with clean and unclean, but with the issue of meats dedicated to idols, etc. Now, Mark 7.